Well, good morning, and again, welcome those here in the chapel and those who are online worshiping with us. You know, most everybody loves a winter snow day. Snow day stops the world. Snow day gives us the chance to stay home, walk around in our pajamas all day, drink coffee, unplug from our normal routines, watch all our favorite shows, with no pressure to go outside. A snow day is a day of rest at home. Just what we need, right? Well, doesn't it sound like we've had some version of a 15-month snow day with COVID? I mean, it's just been this long, endless stay at home, stay at home, stay at home. And in one of the bizarre ironies, the thing that we name as an ideal form of rest, staying home, well, does anybody feel rested after COVID? No, we feel more stressed out and frustrated of soul. A recent national poll from the American Psychiatric Association shows more people reporting mental health effects from the pandemic this year, 2021, than last year. Worry, stress, anxiety, these are not diminishing. Addictions and suicide attempts are up. More than half of adults with children say that they are concerned about the mental state of their children. And the pandemic has caused mental health problems with one or more of their children. Now, while I am not standing here offering some simplistic panacea for the burdens of our lives, nor am I encouraging people to quit therapy or meds, okay? But we have to factor in a promise that Jesus makes to those who are stressed and burdened. And it is this: come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How does Jesus give us rest? Well, that's what we want to look at this morning from Matthew 11, beginning verses 25 through 30. Matthew 11, here's the word of the Lord. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Notice first the invitation of Jesus. The invitation of Jesus is generous as it is strange. Come to me, it's generous, come to me, all, not some, but all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 28, this invitation is as much for you and me today as it was for those hearing it in Jesus' day. And if we are not coming to Jesus with our weariness and our burdens, I mean, no disrespect, but we are fools. This invitation is for real rest at the deepest level of our being. Verse 29, rest for our souls. Are you weary? Come. Are you worn out? Come. Are you stressed, frustrated, overwhelmed with some burden in your family, your work, your life? Maybe something terrible happened years ago and it still weighs on you. Come, Jesus says. He invites you to this rest of soul, a generous invitation. But it's also rather strange, because this rest comes by putting on a yoke. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls. Gene Thornburg let me borrow this yoke of his. It belonged to his adoptive grandfather, who then gave it to him. And this is for two small oxen. And they are paired in this yoke, and in it they can pull wagons and plows through the field. Now, in a way, I mean, this seems crazy of Jesus. You know, a yoke is designed for work, not rest. I mean, if we're already laboring with a heavy burden, we need a vacation, not a yoke. I mean, shouldn't Jesus say, take up a hammock and rest? We need escape from work, not more work equipment. But this is exactly what this yoke is. It is equipment for work. Get into my yoke, Jesus says. Now, somebody might be thinking, there's no way. I'm not getting in any yoke with anybody or anything. A yoke is not an instrument of freedom. It looks harsh. It looks oppressive. It looks hard. You know, I'm free. I'm not getting in any yoke. But there's a yoke joke. And the joke's on you and me. And the yoke joke is, we're already in a yoke. We're already in one of these things. We've all got yokes, things that we're yoked in with. You know, Scripture talks about some of Israel's yokes. There was a yoke of slavery in Egypt. There was the yoke of false gods worshiping Baal. There was the yoke of injustice from bad government, the yoke of oppression from foreign invaders. Scripture speaks of not being unequally yoked with unbelievers. But here's the thing, you and I have yokes as well. We are using something as an instrument for life, for pulling our burdens. There's some yokes that are helping us cope with the stresses of our lives. Often our yokes are invisible to us, but they are there. They are there helping us pull along in our labor. Some of these yokes may be the opinion of others. Or maybe our yoke is just busyness. We are so busy thinking that will this is what will justify my life. Make me somebody. Maybe we're in the yoke of a bad relationship or the yoke of a bitterness that we can't let go of. And we're pulling all through life just yoked to this thing. In this COVID age, there's all kinds of yokes that we're in trying to cope with life, find rest for our souls. There's yokes of addiction, alcohol, drugs, porn, binge watching, constant internet surfing, being unable to put our phone down for more than 5 minutes. Some are in a food yoke, indulgence. Apparently, 33% of adults say they've gained weight during COVID. Well, what invisible yoke are you wearing to pull your burdens by or to find escape for your soul? Now, be honest about the yokes that you're wearing or are tempted to wear, but also, how's that yoke working for you? When we're yoked to anything other than Jesus Christ, it is going to end up only adding burden and finally crushing us. I mean, take the yoke of the opinion of others. If that's what you're pulling your burdens along life by, you know, well, it's great as long as you have favorable opinions by people, right? But what happens when opinion turns against you? When there's criticism at work or in your family or in your circle of friends? See, we're only as good as our last favorable opinion, and that can change in a flash. And so when does the rest ever come? We never really arrive when we're in some yoke of our own making, some yoke of this world. They always end up crushing us. Well, how is it that Jesus' yoke delivers rest to our souls? Well, second, consider the yoke of Jesus. He says that his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and it gives rest to the soul. And the reason for this is that Jesus is in the yoke with us. It's his yoke. Take my yoke upon you, verse 28. See, Jesus brings his yoke to our field of labor and offers to team up with us and help us pull our load. When farmers are training oxen in a yoke, they will often team up a very inexperienced ox with one that is very experienced. And the less experienced one learns from, you know, the big ox, the one that really knows. You know, it's a dumb ox and a smart ox, kind of. Well, guess which one we are, you know. But consider the better ox in the yoke, Jesus. I mean, consider who's in the other bow of this ox with you in your labor field. Jesus says of himself, verse 28, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. All things. Now, what does that include? Better yet, what does that not include? You know, Jesus spoke of the Father, verse 25, as Lord of heaven and earth. Well, that lordship has now been given to Jesus Christ. That means there is not a square inch of your life or of this world that is not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. There is nothing you face that is too big, too strong, too wild, too far gone for Jesus. And he who has all authority in heaven and on earth is with you in this yoke, pulling in your burdens. And as the Lord, he is not a slave driver. He's not harsh or critical. I mean, again, look at what he's like. Look at the one who's with you in this yoke, verse 29. Gentle and lowly of heart. You know, if Facebook, people can post, about me in these Facebook and social media platforms. And, you know, people lie all the time, don't they? You know, they come across as Mr. Awesome and Ms. Magnificent. Well, if Jesus were to post on his Facebook account about me, here's what he would say. I am gentle and lowly of heart. You know, this is the only place in Scripture, the only place where Jesus tells us about his heart. The heart is not part of who we are, it's the center of who we are. The heart is what animates our lives. It's what gets us out of the bed in the morning, drives all that we do. It's who we are at the core, and at the core of Jesus' being, he is gentle and lowly. You know, teachers of Jesus' day would never have said this. Teachers of Jesus' day were strict, harsh disciplinarians. They had to be because they had to get their students straightened out. And their students were below them. They maintained that distance. And they also were disdainful of the unlearned and the common people. But not Jesus. At his core, he is gentle. And this word means meek, kind, quiet in spirit. This means Jesus, we can count on him being patient with us. The posture of his heart inclined toward you is not full of anger or frustration, but gentleness. That's just how he's cut, we say. And he's also lowly of heart. To be lowly means to be humble, but it's humble or humility that comes from destitution, being thrust down by circumstances. Jesus knows what it is to be weak. Hebrews 4:15, we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows suffering, need, hardship, temptation. He knows our weakness. This is what makes him accessible to us. Gentle and lowly of heart, this is the one who's in this yoke with us. Now, is Ryer Schermerhorn in the house? Ryer, come on up here, buddy, and bring your dad with you. Okay, yeah, come on up here. Ryer, come on, yeah, just run up these steps here. Oh, man, oh, gosh, okay. I want you to put on this yoke, okay? Okay, Dave, you stand over here. Yeah, can you put that on there? Okay, now, yeah, just let it rest on, there you go. Now, if I were to tie a rope to the ring here and the other end of the piano, do you think you could drag that piano all the way across the stage by yourself? No. Well, what if your dad got in the yoke with you? Do you think he could do it then? Maybe. Man, your dad could throw that piano across the platform. He's so big and strong. But here's the problem. Your dad's way up here, and you're way down there. So that's going to be a bizarre kind of yoke to work with. How is your dad going to help you pull that piano? What has he got to do? Lift you up? How about if he lowered himself? How about get on your knees there? I don't know if you can get your head in there, but oh, man. There you go. Big David has to lower himself to get in the yoke with his son. And together, now Ryan, your dad can teach you and help you pull that piano all the way across the stage. We're not going to actually do it because Chris Bartman might get angry with me. But you know, when Jesus talks about his yoke, sometimes we talk about it as the teaching. And a yoke is the teaching of a teacher, the teaching of Jesus. But it is more than that. It is far more than that. Jesus brings his yoke to our level, and he is in it with us. He lowers himself with all gentleness, knowing our weakness. He knows what it's like to be in our shoes. He comes saying, "Learn from me. I will teach you by being with you, and I will help you pull this load of life, your burdens." All right, guys, you can get out of that yoke there. Oh, yeah, there you go. Jesus is amazing in his gentleness and lowliness, coming to our level, taking his yoke, putting us in it, and helping us. Well, do you see then where the rest is for our souls? The rest is not rest from work so that we can then get back to work. It's not escape from our burdens. Our rest is Jesus with us in the labors, leading and teaching us. You consider how this whole yoke thing worked in Jesus' own life with the Father. In verse 25, we have this rather odd transition. It's almost like Matthew's just throwing stories together, and they don't seem to fit on a first read. Because in verses 20 through 24, Jesus has been denouncing the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, but they didn't repent. They didn't believe. They stiff-armed Jesus to keep him away. And Jesus says, okay, it's going to be more tolerable for those wicked cities of old, you know, Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, than for these cities here who have seen my great works. Okay, so he's pronouncing woes. But then immediately after pronouncing woes, Jesus starts declaring praise. Verse 25, at that time, okay? It's like he turns around and Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." I mean, Jesus, his heart is exploding with joy. Yes, Father, you can almost see him doing a fist bump here. Fist pump. I mean, this is, though, a big disconnect. When you read this, like, wait a minute, he's full of woe in one moment and full of joy in the next. What gives? Well, what we're seeing is how the heart of Jesus is simultaneously aware of the Father. See, the field of Jesus' life was full of the hard soil and rocks of people's rejection of him, their unbelief. That's the field he's plowing in. But at the same time, he is yoked to the Father. His eyes are constantly fixed on the Father, and Jesus knows that behind the harsh and discouraging world he's working in stands a poised Father, completely in control, utterly unfrustrated, working his good purposes. And the Father's yoke, then, is easy. His burden is light because Jesus knows that the Father is the Lord of heaven and earth. He's the final arbiter of everything that matters in human history. And so Jesus' soul is at rest and full of joy, even as he's laboring in the field of unbelief. Well, this is the way it is with us as well. Jesus' yoke, it's easy. His burden is light. Why? Because Jesus is with us. And he now is Lord of life. He now stands poised, totally unfrustrated, working his good purposes in our lives. He's the final arbiter over all history, including everything that's ever happened to you or ever will. And so what are we to worry about? I mean, our hearts can be at rest, full of the joy in Jesus, because he's with us, he's pulling with us, he's revealing himself and the Father to us. Okay, but how do we actually get in this yoke with Jesus? I mean, this is not some physical thing that we put on, like is illustrated here. Well, to get in Jesus' yoke, he tells us how. Come. Not come make your best offer. Not come and work really hard. No, it's come to me, verse 28. That means we must trust, we must believe, we must follow Jesus. We must come and learn. And he says, learn from me, verse 29. Now, this is not, you know, getting some download of information. This is not just learn the teaching, as beautiful as it is. Now, this is getting into the Word, but then letting the Word get into us. It's a relationship, a daily walk with Jesus, listening to him, obeying him, letting Jesus lead. And we must come to him and learn as children, little children, verse 25. By that he means being childlike. See, what qualifies us is not our ability, but our inability. Little children are ones who can't really do much for themselves, can they? You know, that's why there's the constant cry, Mommy, I'm hungry. Mommy, I can't button this. Daddy, I can't reach. Jesus is rejoicing in us as needy children who have come to him for help. I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. What are these things that Jesus is referring to? Well, it's probably salvation, but in particular, it's knowing God as Father. And you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding. You're those, the wise and understanding are those who think they don't need Jesus. They got life figured out. They're doing, they're conquering life on their own terms and their own strength. Okay. But Jesus says something here that ought to alarm the wise and the understanding. Verse 27, no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Human wisdom is not enough to know God. Only Jesus knows the Father. And only Jesus reveals the Father, and he chooses not to reveal the Father to the wise and understanding of the age, but only to the little children. Those of childlike spirit who admit they don't have life figured out, they're weak, they're needy, they don't have what it takes, but they trust that Jesus does. So come. Don't try to get your mess straightened out first. Bring your mess. Bring your labor, bring your heavy burden, bring your weariness. Come to me, learn from me, and I will give rest to your soul and help you pull those burdens of your life. Well, as we close, I want to give some space to do just this, to come to Jesus. So just in a couple things here, but first, just in some quiet. What are some unhealthy yokes that you are in today? And are you willing to ask Jesus to break any unhealthy yoke that you're wearing, something that you're attempting to pull your burdens along with and find rest for your souls? Just take a moment, let the Holy Spirit work, identify any false, unhealthy yokes you're in, and ask Jesus to break them from off of you. Let's just be quiet before the Lord with that. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. As you identify a yoke, an unhealthy yoke that you may be in, and you ask Jesus to break that. Second, receive the yoke of Jesus. Use your holy imagination to see yourself in the yoke with Jesus. There may be something that is burdening your life that is in front of you today or maybe this week. What do you need to learn from Jesus? And to work with him in pulling those burdens of your life. What would that look like? Receive the yoke of Jesus. What he's teaching you as he's seeking to lead you. Receive the yoke of Jesus. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws, and I bent down to them and fed them. Hosea 11:4. Receive the yoke of Jesus, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen.